Hello, listeners. This is Bala, and welcome to my podcast. Erik Jensen quoted, "There is no separation of mind and emotions. Emotions, thinking, and learning are all linked." Today, my guest is Vanita Chaudhary, founder of Radical Edge Learning Consultants and a Geno-certified Emotional Intelligence Master's Trainer. Hi, Vanita. Welcome to our show. And how are you?
Hi, Bala. Very, very well. And I'm really very excited that you invited me to be on your show. I hope you're doing safe and well, too.
We are. Thank you so much for asking. So, Vanita, what is emotional intelligence? Why is it so important, both professionally and personally?
Bala, in fact, it's a very good question, and you're asking this question in a right time as well, when the whole world is going through this pandemic. I'm not going to give you the bookish definition or very academic definitions of many, many big stalwarts in emotional intelligence. I think for me, as a person who has been, you know, dealing with emotional intelligence for almost 25 years now, because the year I graduated in 1995 is when Daniel Goleman's book was released, and it really shook the world with his emotional intelligence, and I have been loving this subject. For me personally, emotional intelligence helps you in, first of all, understanding how you are feeling at any point of time, and hence gives you the authority to manage your emotions in any situations. And that is the first step of being self-aware. And for me, that is very, very strong, because it helps me then become a fantastic human being, because I don't differentiate between personal life and professional life, because I am just me. And what I bring on to the table, like you rightly said with that lovely quote that you started with, emotions drive your thoughts. Your thoughts drive your behavior, and hence also leads into decision making. Knowing yourself and knowing how you react to some triggers with your emotions, I think that is super important as a first step in understanding what is emotional intelligence. And in a very childish manner, if you want me to put it, is about being intelligent about emotions.
Very good. Knowing ourselves and what is our limitations and where we can go from there. Right? That's when the learning starts.
Absolutely.
Emotional intelligence, is it used only in the HR domain, or is it widely used in other domains like marketing, sales, and delivery?
Again, a very interesting question, Bala. I think you've really done your homework really very well. So let me tell you that emotional intelligence is about a human. It's about a person. And hence, once you really develop the skill, there are controversy, or I would say contradictory understanding, that few people say that you should be born emotionally intelligent, whilst many say that it is a skill that you can learn. And personally for me, I believe that yes, you can learn, because once you practice of knowing yourself, what triggers you, you understand what emotions you bring on, it's like a learn, try it, right? So it does not belong to HR domain alone. Like in Genos, where I'm part of the Genos company, where we do emotional intelligence assessments, we have exclusively something for sales. So if you honestly ask me, emotional intelligence is for everyone, anyone who is very interested to making themselves a better human being. So there is no differentiation, or I wouldn't say boxing of domains for this learning. Anyone can do it, even children.
I always thought it's a skill that a person is born with. So it's basically enlightens me that it's a skill that we can learn too.
No, absolutely. In fact, I can share a small example and how, as a mother, it helped me define for my son. So my son, we realized that he is very, very hyper, highly energetic, and equally gets angry and anxious with anything. And he had very, very hyper behavior as well when he used to get angry. And that is when, you know, I really started applying the EI learnings that I was practicing. Some we used to discuss and he used to see me as well. So when I used to get angry sometimes with his behavior, I used to never yell and shout at him, you know, and I used to talk it out. Like I used to take a deep breath. He used to see that, you know, I used to really manage my emotions. And then I used to have a chat. And I think he started developing that. And today, you know, he's 10 and a half. And trust me, whenever he gets angry or he's upset, one of the finest things he does is he tells me exactly how he's feeling. And that gives us a leeway to discuss further, to understand, you know, what can we do? What can, you know, we stop? Or what can we start cultivating that can bring in more harmony at home and within his life as well?
Wow, interesting, Vanita. Thanks for sharing your life example so the audience can relate to it, what is emotional intelligence is.
Thank you, Bala, yeah.
I noticed in one of the social media, you have shared a quote from Gemini U. Success in the classroom depends more than just your child's IQ. Tell us about Gemini U, its role, and what is it trying to accomplish?
So basically, like I said, you know, I think as a mother, your first priority is to give the best to your child. And once I started, you know, implementing certain practices of emotional intelligence, gratitude, and mindfulness, that's why it's called Gem in You, which is gratitude, emotion, and mindfulness in you. So it's my latest company for children. So when I was doing that for my son, and I've seen a lot of difference in my son's behavior and conversations, I said, why not now extend it to a lot of other children who might need it? And I strongly believe by that quote, Bala, because for me, success is not you getting only your ranks or medals or certificates. I think for me, success, when my son grows into a fine young man, managing his emotions, being kind and grateful for what he has at any point of time, and at the same time, being mindful and live the moment. We have one life, and I want him to really savor the life, enjoy every moment, good, bad, ugly, whatever comes in his way. And today my heart breaks when I see children. You know, there's a huge line in any psychiatric, consultancy clinics today with children of having either depression symptoms, suicidal symptoms, unhappiness, aggression. I mean, you name it. And I think as parents and as you know, people who know about this topic, we need to really be role model or a kind of a friend who can help them overcome this. And like, for example, my son, Adrian, he practices to write every day 10 things he's grateful for, and he writes it in the book. And sometimes when I read what he writes, it amazes me. Like the other day, he had written down that I'm thankful for my stomach. And because of my stomach, I'm able to eat any kind of food. And for me, that is the biggest certificate he would have got or a medal he would have got that day. Because if he's able to appreciate a part in his body and, you know, gives his due respect. And I know I'm bringing up a son who's really growing in a way which is going to be successful in all arena and just not academics.
Interesting, Vanita. So we are touching upon topics like hyper behavior, ADHD, learning disabilities and everything. So as a mom or as a teacher, where do they start implementing these things? Because you said that you are practicing it already, right? But somebody who's a housewife or a new teacher just finished her college, where do they start?
You know, Bala, sometimes, you know, maybe what I'm going to say can be many people may not like it, but sometimes I believe this because I've done, you know, workshops for parents. I have dealt with a lot of parents. I think, you know, as parents, either we get too worked up and start micromanaging our children, or second, we just, you know, let anything away. Sometimes I feel parents need more consulting and counseling than children. So please remember, when a child is born, Bala, the child is just born, right? After that, whatever the child learns is from the parents or anyone else in the house. And every word, every behavior that they display is actually what they have been seeing. So I am not saying that children are born with, hyper activities and learning disabilities. I'm not saying no to that. But the good thing is, as a parent, how would you find out that your child is having a learning disability is only when you are calmer, you are mindful, you're able to see what your child is going through. A simple example. Let me give it to you in this example. You're sitting with your child to teach your child math, and the child goes on yelling and saying, "Don't you get it? I hate math. I don't want math." Throws the book away. Now this is scenario one. On the other scenario, the child looks at mama or dada, whoever is teaching, straight into their eyes and explains that they don't like math, and this is the reason, and this is what makes them and their emotions, and very nicely having a conversation. Now between two scenarios, what would you like in your home?
The second one.
Right? And who can get that? Obviously, it's not the child alone, right? So you need to really help. And there are lots of research now, Bala, which sort of links emotional intelligence and learning disabilities. They say that when you bring in more emotions, when people are able to express, in fact, I remember doing emotional intelligence for a very special school in Bangalore here in India. And there the children are with various disabilities, autism, and also slightly, their brain is not developed as per the age. So I actually did a workshop for the parents and the teachers on how to connect emotionally with children. And when you give them that space, when you give them the feeling that you are there with them, whatever happens, they are then free to go and explore. And having conversations at home, in fact, today, if you notice my post on social media exactly tells that. Talk to your children about feeling. Like when they come back from school, instead of checking what happened in the school, what homework, did you have lunch? How many parents ask, "Hey, how are you feeling after today? What happened in the school? Can we have a chat about it?" You know, I think very, very seldom parents do that. So I think when you do small, small little changes in your behavior of, exclusively in your communication and conversation, I think that would definitely connect in identifying, first of all, at the right time, any learning disability or any other hyper activity with children, and then consult the doctor to get the right kind of help and support them in the journey. And remember, Bala, any point of time when we figure out disabilities, there are high emotions as well. So managing emotions intelligently would also help the journey become more smoother.
It's us, the adults, has to change before the child is changed.
Remember, they just follow you, Bala.
Exactly.
You know, they just mirror us.
I agree. Finally, according to the University of London, Professor Martin Gilder says, emotional intelligence helps people disguise one set of emotions while expressing another for professional gain. What's your opinion on this?
See, Bala, I would like to, you know, actually take you back to this book which I read in 1980s. And I'm sure you would have definitely had a understanding of that book also. It's about the 7 habits for a highly effective people. Mm-hmm. You heard about it?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the first habit is about, choosing your attitude. So for example, say this podcast, I was very excited and thankful that you invited me. Now, sometimes in high excitement, we can either forget the thoughts that we have to talk, or we can, you know, be all over the place with a lot of excitement in the body, right? Mm-hmm. The emotions can drive you that way. So though I am very excited, I also choose the emotion of being composed. Okay, I'm not agreeing or disagreeing, but I think as a human being, you can always choose the emotion or feeling that you want to bring in that moment very strategically. And of course, why not? Like if I'm a boss in an organization and I'm extremely angry and upset, I definitely wouldn't like to yell at my team members. So though I'm seething with anger inside and I'm aware of that, I would then choose, say, all right, this is not the time to even open my mouth because I am so angry. Let me take a break, maybe go out to a breakout room to pick up a cup of coffee, or you can just, you know, take a stroll or just listen to some music or just drink water. Understand that feeling of anger and then you can say, all right, I am angry, I get it. However, Now, if I'm going to speak to my team member, I choose calm or I choose the capability of listening. So it's a choice. You always have a choice. So there's nobody can trigger your emotions and the way you want to take life into. So, and that's why in emotional intelligence, the more you are self-aware, you know your triggers, you know what kind of emotions are attached with that triggers, and then you can start working on them. So there's constant work, I would say, within yourself. And it's not a one-day affair.
Got it. So very insightful, Vanita. And let me thank you so much for your time and that we have learned something new today.
Absolutely. My pleasure, Bala. Thank you for inviting. And I wish you all the very best for the future podcast. You're doing a great job. So keep it up.
Thank you. Listeners, tell me I forgot. Teach me, I may remember. Involve me and I will learn. That's what Benjamin Franklin quoted. And I wish you all the best for your effort to learn something new every day. Thank you and meet you all in my next podcast.